The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning. It's Dean Weitzman, and this is Court Radio. We're live, and it's the first Sunday in September. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave. Good, thanks.
Yeah. I can't hear my... Oh, no.
That's a lively audience.
I can hear myself now. Yeah. Wow, they're very lively for such early
Sunday,
hours.
September the 7th, folks. It looks like the temperature has been cut by a little bit of rain yesterday and a front coming in. So it's supposed to have a high of 81 today.
Yeah, it's going to be nice today, actually.
This
sunny.
Past week was hotter than it was all summer.
Yeah, it was very hot. Yesterday was muggy.
I felt like we were in July or early August. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But... We're now entering the school season. School starts tomorrow for the kids in Philadelphia. Is it tomorrow or Tuesday? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I don't know.
It's tomorrow, September 8th. And so first day of school, everybody's getting up and getting to school, and the fall begins, you know?
Mm.
Leaves
the
start
go?
Changing. Where'd the year go? 215-227-2727. That gets you into the studio where David and I will give it our best shot to answer your legal questions one at a time. We got a special guest today. We got a hot button topic, but there's some legal things going on around the world. I guess we should talk about I-Day. We had him in last week or maybe 2 weeks ago now. And that's the Institute for the Development of African American Youth. Well, they're having a conference or a rally, I suppose, tomorrow at City Hall. Oh, sorry.
Get with it.
The voice of the producer. Wednesday, September the 10th at 10:30, and it's going to go to 1:30, a long rally.
At the new City Hall. I would assume in Dilworth Park is what they're called.
Yeah, you know, I look out over Dilworth Beautiful. Park in my office now, and the fountains are amazing.
Oh, it's great. It's almost like a mini Bellagio from Las Vegas, right?
Yeah.
With the dancing
I think we
water.
Should see Mike Nutter out front in gold sequins. Don't you think?
With dancing girls, with doing the leg kicks.
Yeah, and some, you know, tap shoes.
Boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of bluestone. It looks really nice. I mean, it came together. It looked like a big mess up until almost a week ago, and then... Bam.
Yeah, well, you just can't look off to the right because it still looks a little to the mess.
Yeah, yeah, but still, a lot of bluestone. You can really see where the amount of money comes in when you realize how much stonework and, you know, glass and water. But it looks great. It looks so much better than it used to, that's for sure.
In any event, at that center, right at the Dilworth Plaza or Park, there will be a rally to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana. And we're led to believe, David.
We are led.
That religious leaders all over Philadelphia are joining in the cry to decriminalize marijuana in Philadelphia.
Wow. That's a little bit of a shock to me, but a good one.
Yeah.
We're not talking about legalizing marijuana now before everyone goes crazy. We're talking about small amounts of marijuana, not criminalizing it and putting people in jail for it.
Yeah, it'll be treated like a traffic citation.
Yeah, maybe a traffic ticket or some type of fine if you get caught with something, but not throwing your butt in jail.
Yep. All right. Well, we also have there's a criminal trial going on in Philadelphia.
Yeah, this was a story we did a while ago.
Yeah.
And that's why it takes a long time to get to court.
Go ahead. Tell me what happened.
This was the one where, let's start from the beginning. In the effort to always, as you know, not to be overly political, but Governor Corbett, in stripping the educational budget from all the money that we need and, you know, really making it difficult to fund things, we in Philadelphia had to decrease the amount of nurses in schools. And one of the allegations is that that caused or was a contributing factor in a problem. I'm looking for my notes here and I don't have it, so you'll have
Massey's
to tell me.
Family.
LaForia
Massey's family, yeah.
I'm trying to find the school. What school was it? Bryant Elementary School. Asthma attack. The child had an asthma attack, but there was no nurse at the school. Probably something that could have been treated fairly easily or at least, you know, managed until she got to a hospital. But instead, she passed away because of it. Because there was no nurse. No one knew what to do.
So there's a civil rights action filed in federal court on behalf of the estate of the child. And
wrongful death.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we'll see what happens in that development, claiming and alleging that the city's failure to have nurses in schools led to the child's death. And there's a lot of children who are at risk all over Philadelphia. As we begin the school year, I started off the show by saying tomorrow's the first day of school. We, you know, when we were kids, David, there was a nurse in every school.
Yeah, you know, you kind of take that for granted when you're younger. But now that we're older and wiser, we realize that you kind of need that. There's all sorts of things that can happen. And you know, you need someone qualified to know what to do.
Right. Exactly.
There's a million things that could happen at a school. And some bigger schools, you might argue, would need someone more than just a nurse. Or one nurse.
215-227-2727. That's the number for Court Radio. That's the number to get my Philly lawyer all week long. If you've got legal issues, we'll help you get through them. Let's talk to Christine from Alleny. Hey, Christine, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning. What's your question?
I'm getting married on the 20th of September.
You're getting married?
Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, I purchased quite a few bridesmaids and junior bridesmaids dresses back in March. The final payment was made June the 5th. The dresses were here, I think, on that day. Yeah, the dresses were already in the shop, some of the dresses. So we were missing the three junior bridesmaids dresses, and they promised to have them into the shop for me by July 25th. Well, I didn't realize that the dresses hadn't been picked up because everybody was responsible for picking up their own dresses. And when I found out in August that the dresses hadn't been picked up by the 25th of July, I called the shop back. And they assured me that they would have them here at least 2 weeks before the wedding. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. Well, two of the dresses came in and then one didn't. And now they're promising to have the other one in by the 19th, which is the day before my wedding. But at this point, you know, I'm not believing anything they're saying because they didn't get the dresses to me when they were supposed to. And I want to know how I can cancel my bill of sale because I already found somebody else to make the dresses for me. And I don't want the dresses. So I'm reading my receipt and it says that, you know, all sales are final.
Okay, well, no, all sales are final here at Court Radio, not when they violated the contract. You know, you can't enforce one term of a contract while ignoring another critical material term. So one of the terms was a delivery date, and they've consistently failed to meet their delivery date to the point now where you feel it necessary to replace the dress at another facility. I think absolutely under those circumstances, if you replace the dress, you're going to be able to get the first dress. You'll be able to get your money back for that first dress and cancel the bill of sale.
Okay.
Did you pay in full? did you pay in full?
Yes, I paid in full.
Okay. Yeah, well, while I agree with Dean, if they don't, it might require you to have to do some legwork, meaning you'll have to file a small claims court action against them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But I think you'll prevail.
My only issue is that, you know, it doesn't say anything about the dates in the bill of sale. It just, you know, that was just verbally what they told me.
Yeah, well, you're getting married. When are you getting married, Christine? When are you getting married?
Yes, less than 2 weeks.
I think
it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Everybody would realize that you're supposed to have a bridesmaid dress sooner than 2 weeks before the wedding.
Thank you very much.
And you got the other two dresses.
Correct.
When did you get them?
They came Friday before Labor Day.
Yeah, so what's the explanation? What are they going to say as to why they didn't have the other
two? Did you change anything about that third dress? Were you involved in the delay in any way, shape, or form on that third dress?
No, I paid for the dresses. Initially, they told me when they said they didn't come by July 25th, it was because of some type of labor strike or something on the docks. And I said, okay, they said it was sitting in port and customs was behind.
That's some dress coming from Italy. Where's that coming from?
Yeah, where is that coming from?
I don't know. They make the dresses out of the country.
Yeah, China probably, right? That's, I mean, where's it coming from?
Christine, is this your first marriage, Christine?
No, it's my second and my last.
Okay. Because you've gone all out. You've gotten the foreign made dresses.
Yeah, really.
You know? And what color are these dresses?
They're black and gold.
Wow, sounds nice.
And with
a picture, send that to Court Radio with two black and gold dresses and one. What's the other one going to be?
Same color, right?
It's supposed to be black and gold. And, you know, originally when I was ordering dresses, the shop was the one that made me aware of placing all the orders at the same time so that the material that they're cut from is the exact same, because sometimes the shading and the coloring.
Listen,
and the right.
Christine, I think I think you got an argument anyway. Christine, I think you have an argument to get the money back for all the dresses, even the ones you're going to use.
Yeah, because you...
No, I'm not going to use those two that they got because I ordered three other ones.
Oh, well, then definitely.
So I didn't even pick them up. Yeah. I don't want them.
Well, that's okay. Where Dean was going, because you want the consistency of them all looking the same.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
We got you.
All right, well, you're going to be in small claims court for sure, so good luck with that. And call Court Radio. Let us know how it worked out.
I most certainly will. Have a good day.
Take care, Christine. Hey, David, we have our guest in the studio.
He waltzed in.
He did, just casually.
Just casually waltzed in.
Put those headphones on so you can communicate with the world. Okay, we got Eric Reyes in the studio. Good morning, Eric, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Here, you want to get right up there? There you go. Now you're comfortable?
I think so.
All right. They can hear you anyway. Eric is an attorney in Lower Bucks County. He's a guy who I've sent some cases to.
I have.
Yeah. He's a hardworking lawyer, a young lawyer up in Bucks County. And Eric is focusing on an area of the law, David, that I think everybody can relate to. And that is that when somebody is working by the hour and they haven't been compensated appropriately for overtime, or they don't receive the appropriate minimum wage, they go to see Eric and his partner put that case into suit, and they make sure that the employer lives up to his legal obligations. Did I kind of sum that up appropriately?
Yeah, appropriately.
Let me ask you something. What is the minimum wage these days?
It depends on the state, but in Pennsylvania, it's $7.25. You can't pay somebody working for you less than that.
$7.25. Now, what differentiates somebody who's an hourly employee from somebody who's not?
Well, somebody who's not an hourly employee doesn't have to account for his hours, but... at the end of the day, everybody has to be paid at least a $7.25.
Oh, so even if you're a salaried employee, and let's say you're salaried, you make $400 a week, but you're working 60 hours a week or 70 hours a week, can they get away with paying you less than $7.25 then?
Not if they require that you work 40 hours a week. It's a matter of basic math equation. You multiply the hours by the minimum hourly wage, and if you make less than that, there's a problem.
Now, that's state law, correct?
That's state and federal law.
Yes. Right. Well, states can differ on the amount of minimum wage, or is it the same all across our country?
It's not the same across our country. There's a federally mandated minimum wage.
Right.
And then states and sometimes cities have the right to raise that rate. And that's what the debate is now, where some cities are raising it to $10
to $15. Yeah, 15. That's what we heard. Yeah, that's what I was kind of...
Really? Where? 15? I'm going to move there.
I can't remember. I think it was L.A. I was going to say California. There was a $15. Yeah, it was I think that's the highest in the country.
Well, yeah. But, you know, housing out there is, you know, gazillions of dollars to buy just a bungalow.
Right.
That's why they, people making the minimum wage are living under bridges in
now,
L.A.
Well, what's more, not more interesting, but equally interesting, the issues of we've heard recently in some local businesses in Philadelphia with paying the required wages, but then sort of sifting money off. I'm talking about the waiters, the situation with waiters. Where they take the tips, they were taking tips?
Yeah, well, the hospitality industry, restaurants, hotels, they're notorious for doing this.
Right.
One of the issues is that if you work in a restaurant, there are restaurants that they can pay you less than $7.25. They can, in Pennsylvania, they can pay you $2.83. But the reason why they can do that is because you're supposed to be making the difference up to $7.25 in tips. So because of that, they're only paying you a check of $2.83.
Right.
The problem with that is a lot of the times those tips are not enough to get you over $7.25. And if a restaurant does that where they only pay you $2.83 or a hotel does that, they have to make sure that at the end of the day, you're still making at least $7.25 tips.
Interesting.
Oh, that's a very interesting
point. They can't sift off. Even if it's more, they can't take the money off either, which is
what's
happening.
Have to add it.
Yeah, interesting.
If you've got a bunch of cheapskates who are coming in to eat dinner and they don't tip you up enough. By the way, that's a whole different subject, but I mean, I never leave less than 20%. 215-227-2727. Even when I get, well, if I get bad service, I might leave 18%.
Right, right. my statement.
I usually clear up bad service, not with a tip, but by, beating the waiter or waitress into submission in front of me. 215-227-2727. We're talking about minimum wage. We're talking about getting ripped off as a worker in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania where you're not getting your appropriate comeuppance.
Well, what's interesting, what I think is interesting.
When's the last time you heard comeuppance?
It's like bummer, right?
Comeuppance. I mean, I had to squeeze that in today.
Yeah,
like,
wasn't that impressive. But what I find interesting is that I think it's unprecedented that there were these recent cases where employees actually got together in the hospitality industry, waiters and waitresses, and actually prevailed. And because I've never heard of a lawsuit like that in my lifetime, at least.
It's not just the hospitality industry. Just a couple of days ago, cheerleaders Raiders, for the LA Raiders,
okay.
Oakland Raiders, whatever, wherever they are.
Yeah, it used to be, yeah.
I'd be representing them for free, by the way.
That's a whole other subject.
That's a whole other subject, but go ahead.
But they, within the past couple of days, there was a lawsuit that was settled. They've sued, I think, last year. They're not the only ones. I believe the Bengals cheerleaders sued. I believe the Buffalo Bills cheerleaders sued.
Same issue?
Same exact issue. I mean, these girls were being paid, I think, like $25 per game. And in the meantime, they had to spend months training, months in advertisement, going to promotional activities, and they were never paid for any of that. And I think the lawsuit with the Raiderettes, they're going to be paid at least $9 an hour.
Huh. Wow.
Could you believe that all that time, they must make money, I guess, through promotion of who they are, their pretty face or whatever.
Right, for $25, why would you do that?
Yeah.
It's also sort of like my shot at show business, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder what happens to the old cheerleaders when they get too old.
Not much.
215-227-2727. We got Eric Reyes in the studio, and Eric is an attorney who's filing suits for people who aren't getting paid appropriately. So tell us one of the recent cases. Can you tell us one of the recent cases you've been working on?
I can tell you generally that what we worked on are a lot of restaurant cases. I mean, I don't think that in the past couple of weeks I've spoken with somebody who works in a restaurant where looking at what they told us, we didn't come out and say there's a violation there. The biggest violation by far in restaurant cases is what I call walkouts.
What's a walkout?
A lot of people ask me that, and sometimes the waiters or the bartenders, the servers themselves, they don't understand when I ask them that. The walkout is if they are getting paid $2.83 or they are getting paid the absolute minimum wage, sometimes people walk in, eat or drink, and then run out. That's a walkout. A bartender, a waiter, or a server, they're not responsible for that walkout. That money, whatever that bill is, cannot be taken out of their pay. And there are a number of restaurants. They just do that for whatever reason, maybe because they don't know the law, maybe because they know and they don't
care.
You
mean if someone goes and walks out without paying?
They beat the bill.
Oh, okay, they beat the bill. Really? Yeah, I would say there are a lot of definitely a lot of places that would say to the waiters and waitresses, that's your responsibility.
Yeah, and the shocking thing is, for the most part, when we talk to the bartenders and the waiters, they complain about it. They know that there's something improper about it. Just the gut feeling is that this is wrong, but they just think this is the way things are. I've had a number of people who told me, well, I worked in the restaurant industry for 10 years, and this is just the way everybody does it.
Well, you know, I would think this is why I'm so shocked, or at least it's promising that there's these lawsuits coming out that are prevailing, and I think it may change the way employers in the hospitality industry do this, but... You know, a lot of waiters, waitresses, people who work in restaurants, they feel, you know, that's a tough, it's a high revolving door, you know, job. It's tough jobs to get that where you can make good money. And once you get one, you do not want to lose it. You know, often it's people paying, you know, paycheck to paycheck, they're living to pay their bills. So
let's talk to Peggy from Northeast Philly, who's got a minimum wage question. Hey, Peggy, welcome to Court Radio. Oh, Peggy. I hear you.
Peggy, we hear your radio.
Yeah.
But we don't hear Peggy.
Oh, well. Peggy, we'll come back to you. All right. Let me ask you something. Are these cases high-dollar cases? I mean, what can you expect to get for somebody who was billed for a walkout?
Well, usually these cases are a math issue. Literally, you sit down, you calculate how much these people were paid, how much they were supposed to be paid. And then it's just subtraction and addition. And for the most part, if a restaurant does have that policy, everybody who was involved in being subjected to that policy, the waiters, the bartenders, anybody at all.
It becomes like a mini class action. You know, each case is a mini class action lawsuit.
If it's not a class action, it's called a collective action.
Yeah, collective. Yeah,
We know, for example, we know of one establishment in Philadelphia where they had an area where a bunch of servers were working, and in that area, if there was a walkout from one of the waiters or servers, every server had to make sure that that walkout was paid by them. In other words, it was a collective walkout payment, which is just absolute nonsense.
So the let's say they had to pay $50 for the walkout. You're telling me that you're bringing a claim and all you're getting out of it is $50?
No, that's not the case.
Oh, okay.
Well, if that's the policy of the place, then think of all the people that come in. You got to do the math on how many people they get each day, each week as customers, and you factor that all in.
In today's world, a lot of the times restaurants operate on electronic systems, and you can see exactly how much was taken out. You can see exactly who was not paid because all of that is reflected. Because the restaurant owner, if they're violating the law in this fashion, they're not going to pay, and they're going to they think that they're doing the right thing. So that number will never be hidden.
There's also penalties, right? It's not just that. There's state probably legal penalties and fines and things like that for doing it.
And it is a class action. So what usually happens is the people that once they come and talk to us, they realize that they're not the only ones.
Right.
This is happening to tens of hundreds of
and
more others.
Attorney's fees are probably collectible, right?
Yes. Our clients don't pay us fees.
There you go.
No fees?
No fees, baby.
Your clients don't pay you fees. Who pays you?
The defendants, because they're violating the law. They're required to pay attorney's fees.
Wow. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Rochelle from Northeast Philly. Rochelle, good morning to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on. What's your question?
The question is not really pertaining to me. It's my son was working for a company. He lives in Pittsburgh. And he was working on commission, but they had him working like over 40 hours. The only day he had off was on Sundays, and he wasn't even receiving a paycheck because he wasn't getting the sales. And they also had like office time in the office. Maybe they were spending like two or three hours in the office. So when I kept telling him, I said, well, that doesn't sound right to me. You should at least be paid for your office time. So I was just wondering, how does it work if you're working on commission? Are they allowed to not pay you anything at all?
Go for it.
The answer is no. I think that the issue is not so much whether he's working on a commission or not. The issue is, and that's another problem in the wage and hour area of the law, is that sometimes people are misclassified. You have somebody working for you, and you say that they're not your employee, they're an independent contractor. If you are an independent contractor, you're not going to be paid minimum wage. And for the most part, salespeople, which is what it seems to me what her son is, they are designated as independent contractors. However, just because you say that somebody's an independent contractor doesn't mean that they are. And the issue a lot of times comes down to control. In other words, if that employee or if that person, if what they do is controlled by the person who gives them the work to such an extent that they can be claimed to be an employee as opposed to an independent contractor, there's a definite violation of somebody working more than 40 hours a week and not being paid properly, not being paid their overtime.
So it all depends on the, you know, really what he does and how he does it. But it would behoove him perhaps to give us a call during the week, Rochelle, at 215-227-2727. And we'll make the referral to Eric, and your son can have his claim investigated for free. You know, I'll tell you this, if I could use Rochelle's son as an example, we recently had a case where we were representing some seriously injured woman who was struck by a bicycle messenger, you know, one of those bicyclists in Philadelphia delivering packages. Now, they routinely sign off on independent contractor agreements as messengers. But we uncovered enough information and evidence to establish that they weren't really independent contractors, but more like ordinary employees of the company, and they were under the company's direction. And if you go to the company website, it listed how careful they were in selecting their employees, and they called them employees. They just had them sign an agreement, and that was the end of the independent contractor. So, again, it's not uncommon to have somebody who's classified as independent contractor actually be deemed legally an employee. So have your son give us a call, 215-227-2727. Rochelle, thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in 2 minutes.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call my Philly lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call my Philly lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly lawyer, when winning matters most.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
All right, we're back, and this is Court Radio. Joined in the studio with my co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, hey.
David and I have Eric Reyes, attorney, counselor at law from Lower Bucks County. Eric, good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Yes, and Eric has been focusing on doing wage and salary claims on behalf of employees in the Delaware Valley area. And I say wage and salary, Eric. Are salaried employees exempt from your representation or from having to be paid a certain amount?
No, they're not. There are different types of violations with respect to wage and hour laws, but they're certainly not exempt. There are issues regarding salaried employees specifically.
How does it normally come up? Give us an example of a salaried employee that might need your services.
One of the issues would be where somebody, as I mentioned before, is misclassified as an independent contractor, where they're actually an employee. And a lot of the times what you pointed out with the bike riders, yeah, they sign an agreement, but the reality is you look at the document and you look at really what's going on. And if really what's going on is they're an employee, the court will find that they're an employee that have to be paid a specific certain amount. With respect to salaried employees, one of the biggest issues is when they're paid bonuses, because the bonuses are not properly calculated in the whole scheme of their salary structure. It's a little more complicated than a walkout that you would see in a restaurant case, but nonetheless, it's pretty prevalent in the industry.
See, this is a good lesson for our listeners. We're talking about law, state law and federal law about what people can be paid. So even if you and I, Dean, have always talked about contract, contract, contract. The contract speaks, the contract speaks. But we learned today, and we've learned before, the contract is not going to be valid if it's not in conformance with the law. So just because you have a contract, I know a lot of people have some detailed contracts that say you're not going to be paid for this amount of overtime or that amount of overtime. That might not be proper, ultimately. Everyone just says, oh, well, that's the way my company does it. But when you really break it down, it may not be in conformance with the law.
Very good point, David. Let's talk to Marvin from Overbrook, who's got a salary question. Hey, Marvin, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. I got a question. I'm a salary employee, but I'm on call 24/7, and my company refuses to pay me comp time when I take calls. Is that legal?
Sometimes it's not. That's a really good point. When somebody is on call 24 hours and they're salaried employees, generally they have to be compensated for things that a non-on-call employee would not have to be compensated, because effectively you're a 24-hour employee. And if you calculate your 24 hours over the period of time that you worked, I can, just based on your phone call, I can pretty much guess that you're being paid well below what you should be if the minimum wage is $7.25. So, yeah, generally speaking, that may be a violation. And that's how we usually get people, is that there's a gut reaction saying there's something wrong here with the way I'm being paid. I'm not being paid enough for what I do. And most of the time they're right.
You know, my fear of doing this show is that
all Dean's employees.
No,
I'm going to represent all of them.
The studio workers are going to start leaving, the studio. I had a producer. I had an engineer. Yeah. They're all gone.
I was just going to say, if the barometer is feeling like you're not getting paid enough, everyone has a claim in this country.
I know of wage and hour attorneys that have been told to leave restaurants. I know for a fact that's the case.
215-227-2727. Marvin, give us a call during the week. We certainly can look into your claim and see if, there's no cost to you to see if you're possibly entitled to compensation for all of the work you've been doing. Not only the 24/7 being on call, but you said you take calls. So how about each of those calls you take, each week?
You're counting the
have
time
you
for
been
it, yeah.
paid for those?
No, I at one time I would get comp time at a rate of time and a half. comp time.
Right.
But then the company refuses to pay me comp time. In other words, I'm taking the calls for free, 24 hours a day. I get a call, I have to resolve an issue at work over the phone, but I can't get compensated for it. And I have colleagues, right, that don't take calls 24 hours a day. We all make the same salary. So yeah. I'm thinking that I should be compensated for that.
Yeah.
Sounds obvious.
It sounds obvious, but it reminds me of Robert Nix. So, but let me ask, I have a question. What about a retaliatory firing? So Marvin comes to us and says, look, I haven't been compensated appropriately, I don't think. And you agree and say, you know what, let's represent you. I think you have a claim, and I think it's a valuable claim. The next day, Marvin goes into work. His employer's gotten a letter from us saying that we're representing Marvin for his wage and salary claim. What happens to Marvin's job?
If Marvin is fired because he initiated a lawsuit or an investigation under the federal law for minimum wage and hour, that is a separate violation of federal minimum wage law. You cannot be fired because you decided to take to court your employer who's not paying you what they should be paying you.
There you go.
Yeah, but the reality, though, let's talk reality. So they don't fire you, but your job becomes much less amenable. Everyone treats you a little differently, and now you know
maybe your coworkers put a plaque up in your name, right? You know, because you've now made sure that the entire workforce
true.
Is going to be compensated.
That's true.
Correct. And that's the issue. I think when somebody needs to initiate this, right? I think everybody else will come on board, but I'm going to have to be the pioneer to initiate this because I feel as though this is an injustice, right? I take calls 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting woken up, taking phone calls,
definitely,
handling something, and then they won't compensate me for it. I don't think that's fair.
Marvin, give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. Tell them you heard him on Court Radio, okay?
Not a problem. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right, Marvin.
And Dean, right. you referenced an employee of yours, Robert Nix. Does he listen to the show?
No. No.
Robert, if you're listening, please call Eric Reyes and David Rappaport tomorrow morning.
Robert is, so Eric understands the inside
yeah,
joke.
Exactly.
Robert takes on calls for my Philly lawyer all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
24/7.
You might have an issue.
Yeah. Robert carries the on-call phone.
That's right.
He's my on-call guy. All right. Let's talk to Linda from Norristown, who's got a salary and wage claim. Hey, Linda, welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you so very much. My question is, in regards to the salary and wages, if you wish to speak to a lawyer about a case, is there a time period what's the time period?
Statute of limitations.
Yeah, that's a really good question because a lot of the times people miss it. The statute of limitation in these cases is relatively short, and the look back.
Well, how do they look? What is the barometer?
Three years.
From when?
From the day.
From when you start?
No, not from the day you start. From the day that you file suit. That's the look back. In other words, you've
filed suit. Gotcha.
So the offense has to have occurred within that 3 years. Will any damages that predates 3 years be considered?
No.
No. Okay.
That's how you're going to calculate the damages.
So you have a 3 year window, Linda. Are you in or out of that window?
It's not for me, but she's in.
She's in.
All right.
All right. Give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. We'll certainly talk to her, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Take care.
Yeah, if you're a 10-year employee and then you suddenly do something, you're wasted 7 years of money.
Yeah.
Basically.
All right, let's talk to, I'm going to try it, Fawzia and Overbrook, because Monica didn't give me the
phonetics.
Did I kill your name?
You did good.
All right. So what's your question?
Okay. You are an hourly employee, and you're in a non-union. So just say, for example, you make $10 an hour.
All right.
So now you work 40 hours a week. So now if you go and work overtime that week, are you saying that they have to pay you time and a half? Or are they still able to still pay you at straight time?
No, they have to pay you a time and a half. It doesn't matter how much you make an hour. If you're an hourly employee,
okay.
and you work more than 40 hours.
It doesn't matter that you're a non-union employee.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
So, if you're here it is. If you're an hourly employee and you make $10 an hour and doesn't matter about unions or any of that, if you're an hourly employee, you got to get paid $15 for each overtime hour you work. And if you don't, and if you don't,
you probably have a company thing that I could probably be able to refer you to.
Okay, well, you just give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. We'll take your hourly salary wage claims right to court. Okay, Lynn?
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Well, we're going to have every business in the greater Philadelphia area protesting court radio.
Well, that's what court radio is here. That's I'll tell you a funny story. I moved this weekend, my abode, and I did it myself. So I went to U-Haul. On Stanton Avenue at Ming's Self Storage.
Nice.
And the young man who was behind the counter said, when I brought it back, not before, he didn't give me a break on the rate.
Right.
but he was very nice. And the shop there is clean and they do a great job. So I get the truck. I come back. He says, I meant to ask you, are you Dean Weitzman from Court Radio? I said, yeah, the one and only. And he said, my grandma loves you. You guys do a great job for the community. And I said, thanks so much. And
where's your bill? Pay your bill now.
And where's your credit card?
Where's your credit? Right.
Okay. So anyway, let's talk to Sharon from Northeast Philly. Oh, Sharon.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. And welcome to Court Radio.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. I have a question. I work for a nonprofit organization, and we manage several properties. Is it legal when you're working for the company? Is it legal to tax your mileage? We have to go to like different sites to do different things.
Okay, so here let me sum this up for you, and you tell me if I'm right. So you get paid for your time. And you get paid for mileage because you're using your own car. But they lump it all together and they tax you on all of it.
Yes.
Okay. Got an opinion on that, Eric Reyes?
My opinion would depend on looking at her tax return to see exactly what they're doing. Because they have to pay you back for the mileage. They have to pay you back for the expenses that you have in doing your job. Gas, things like that, and you're being compensated, sounds to me, for the mileage. How they tax it, that's a math issue. It's just a matter of what is being subtracted from what. And if we take a look at your tax return, we would be able to determine whether they're doing it right or doing it wrong.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we need more info. The bottom line is you'll have to call as well because we need more information.
And you know the number.
You know the number, right?
Yes.
All right.
227-2727.
Let's talk to Robin from West Oak Lane. I've got Larry moving here. He doesn't even know where his fingers are going.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. Welcome to Court Radio. You have a question on wage and salary claims.
Yes, I do. I work for a daycare center, and we haven't gotten a raise in about 5 years because she says the state hasn't given her a raise in 5 years. But she's asking for new people to come to work for her that already have a child development associate. And we have child development associates, a CDA. And she wants to start them off at $11 when we don't even make that much.
Hmm.
So
that's just the starting set. What you pay people. I think that falls, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, that would fall into like a discriminatory type thing. If it's not a discriminatory class that you're in, an employer has a right to pay you whatever you agree to accept, right? I mean, am I right?
Yeah, it does. It certainly sounds unfair, but
yeah, it's unfair.
there's really nothing that can be done. If an employer decides to pay X to a certain number of employees for whatever reason,
right?
Generally, that's okay.
Unless unless it's one of the, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, the discriminatory, they're not paying you because they feel you're a certain age and they want to pay you less, or a certain race, certain sex, religious affiliation, all those are protected under the law. They can't discriminate for that, but if they just say you're person X and then there's person Y and I'm going to pay you two differently, there's not much you can do about that.
Here's what you do: you quit, then you get rehired at the higher rate. You know,
okay. make yourself obsolete, then quit. Then
everybody,
rehire.
You get everybody in the shop to quit.
That's right,
and then they're going to need to hire you back at the higher rate.
I'll tell you, as an employer, it's a pretty bad way of motivating your workers by bringing new people in at a higher rate than the existing. You know what I mean? It just doesn't sound like a good way to conduct your business.
It isn't. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for calling. Unfortunately, we can't help you. You're going to have to help yourself by walking on out. 215-227. My pleasure. 215-227-2727. We're talking wage and salary with Mr. Rays. We're going to take a quick break, folks. If you're on the line, stand by. We'll be getting to your calls shortly. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. It's Sunday, the first Sunday in September, September the 7th. School starts tomorrow for all the Philadelphia kiddies out there who are listening to Court Radio and figuring out whether you're getting ripped off by your employer. You got to get back to school tomorrow. Because, you know, Eric, I say that in jest, but even kids who are working for an employer in Pennsylvania who, let's say, are busboys or servers in restaurants over the summer, even they're entitled to minimum wage, aren't they?
Absolutely.
There's no, like, less than minimum wage for a 16-year-old.
No, there isn't.
Okay. So, you know, although I don't know how many 16-year-olds are up right now, but, you know, if mommy or daddy are listening.
None.
Let's talk to John from Levittown, Pennsylvania, with an overtime question. Hey, John, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're well, thanks. Is this your first?
I have a question.
Hey, John.
I work for... Hello?
Yeah, let me ask you a question first. Is this your first time you called Court Radio?
Yes.
Okay. Would you stay on the line afterwards? Because I keep forgetting to give away our Court Radio T-shirts, and I'm going to have Monica get your address and give you a Court Radio T-shirt for your call today.
All right.
All right. So go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. I work for a private technical institution. I've been there over 20 years, like 23 years. I work day and night. Now, we've been trying, me and some of the other instructors have been trying to figure out, how come if we work 40 hours during the day and a total of 12 hours during the week, we don't get overtime for that 12-hour night pay? Now, I think somebody's taken them to court or at least talked to labor and wages, and they say it's okay, and I can't figure out how come.
So you work each week 40 hours during the day, and then you have an additional 12 hours in the evening that you put in. It's not prep. Is it prep time in the evening, or are you actually working on site?
I'm teaching students.
Okay,
and so you get paid at all for that?
So you're working 52 hours every week.
Every week for 22 years.
But you only get paid for 40.
No, I get paid for all 52 hours, but it's at the hourly rate.
I got you. Okay. How big is your company?
You mean how many people?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of institutions. I say total is maybe 60 to 100.
Okay. Eric?
And some of those are teachers and some of those are office workers.
All right. Right. It sounds to me like you might have the potential for the making of a claim. You should give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. We'll sit down with you like we will with all of our clients, and we'll get the facts, and we'll get some information. It's all confidential, and it's all for free. And if we feel like there's a viable claim there and you want to move forward and it's a two-way street, then we'll decide to move forward. You'll sign a fee agreement, and we'll move forward. So that we could represent you. But there's a lot of investigating and a lot of decision-making that'll occur before that happens. But it all starts with a phone call to the office, 215-227-2727. Now, stay on the line, because I got Monica, who's going to get your address for a T-shirt.
Did he already hang up?
Oh, no.
She's got him.
She's already working.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have any thought about that, Eric? His potential case?
Yeah, my thought on that case is sometimes just because the Department of Labor or the government says that this is not something that they want to pursue does not mean
that they
don't want to pursue because it's not meritorious. It just may mean that they don't have enough resources.
Exactly.
And that's why there are these laws on the books, because effectively you're acting as a private attorney general. You're enforcing federal law.
Gotcha.
Rachel from Drexel Hill on line one, Lara. Hey, Rachel, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. You're on. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, I am a self-contractor, and I work over 40 hours. Am I able to get paid for time and a half?
Okay. When you say you're a self, you mean you're an independent contractor?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're calling yourself an independent contractor.
You're limiting yourself right there.
But the question is, describe to me what your job is. What is it you do, and how do you do it?
Well, I work for an agency, and it's a CNA.
Okay.
Nursing.
Uh huh.
Right.
And do you do that? Do you do it at a facility, or do you go out to patients' homes?
I go out to patients' homes.
And they call you and give you the referral to go out and...
Yeah, they may be...
They give me the cases.
Right.
I take them, and I work over 40 hours.
Sure. You actually may be a real independent contractor.
Yeah.
But, you know, it will require a much lengthier conversation to ascertain what you do and how you do it and whether your employer and to what extent your employer controls what you do. But let me, just as a general point, Eric, are independent contractors protected at all in the wage and salary game?
Yeah, yes, they are. And what you pointed out, though, is we need to find out exactly how she goes about doing her job. There have been cases filed regarding nurses, specifically nurses. So it will depend on looking at the facts of what she does, how she does it, what her employer requires her to do.
Rachel, you'll have to give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. Rachel, stay on the line. Monica's going to get your address, and we're going to get you a Court Radio T-shirt.
Thank you.
All right, hold on. Let's talk to Lisa from Northeast Philly, who's got a commission question working at a retailer. Hey, Lisa, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Dean Weissman, for taking my call, as well as your associates that are on the line as well. Yes, that is the reason for my call. For a number of years, I worked at a very large retail store up on City Line Avenue, and
Target.
we were employees, meaning that we literally had a time card when we logged in and logged out for lunches, breaks, and at the end of our shift. But we were not paid a salary at all. However, we were strictly commissioned, and the department we were strictly commissioned on, if anyone had a return and they had their receipt and it had your ID number on it, well, that following week it came out of your pay. So whatever you made, you know, if someone returned something valued at $100, $100 was taken out of the following week's paycheck.
Now, Lisa, let me ask you a question. How long has it been since this happened?
You know what? Honestly, it happened quite a number of years ago, and I understand. I did hear someone say the statute of limitation was approximately, I believe, 3 years. So I understand there's nothing we can do. But I'm just curious: was that legal or not?
No, it was not.
Not legal at all. And if anybody's listening, and that kind of stuff is still happening, you're entitled to be compensated for all of your time appropriately. And if you're not being compensated and they're taking back returns, then you need to talk to us. That's the bottom line.
Like I said, it went on for quite a number of years.
It's probably still going.
I have friends who we're still friends to this day who they went through the same thing for a number of years. I mean, they got away with this for a number of years. And it wasn't until we, you know, decided to, you know, move on with our careers that the next bunch of folks came in as associates of theirs were giving some sort of salary.
Mm. So they did change their ways.
We heard that through the grapevine, like the new employees are getting a small salary now. I'm like, we got nothing. I mean, literally, not you know, we weren't paid like the restaurant folks get the $2 and something an hour. We were paid nothing.
Yeah, well.
But yet we were held to the same accountability as a salary employee.
Yeah, horrible.
Like if you were late, you got written up, everything.
We're not going to let that happen to new employees, unfortunately. If it's more than 3 years, there's little we can do for you. But I'm going to get you a Court Radio T-shirt. I'm going to sign it for you, Lisa. Stay on the line. Hold on. Monica's going to get your address.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're running out of time, guys, and the calls are still coming. But all I can say to our listeners is that if you have a wage and salary claim or if you think you might have a wage and salary claim, what you need to do is give me a call during the week at 215-227-2727.
I was going to say, Dean Weitzman to the rescue. Years and years of being underpaid, and he's giving you a T-shirt.
Yeah. Well, I'd give her more than a T-shirt if she had called us a few years ago. 215-227-2727. Call it during the week. That's where you need to be for all of your legal issues in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, and in the world. Eric, I want to thank you for joining us, getting up early today to come to Court Radio. I hope you had a good time here. We certainly learned a lot listening to your sage advice. And I would say that this is probably way more common than most people realize.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. As I indicated, I know attorneys who've been asked to leave restaurants after they spoke with the waiter. Or
wow.
Bartender.
Wow. It's also very, very, it sounds to me, obviously, very case specific. So, you know, that's why we keep telling these callers we have to get more information because it's, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're out of time. We'll see you next Sunday. Same time, same place. Tell your friends. Court Radio, the place to be Sunday mornings.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.